Jamie Nye with you here in the Green Zone on this Monday. Hope everybody had a lot of great time off, or maybe you're still enjoying some time off over the Christmas and New Year's break and enjoying a little bit of reprieve from the cold snap we felt over the last few days. Temperatures might be touching on plus territories. Actually, Loon Lake, it is plus 3 degrees. Right now, the hot spot in Saskatchewan. So a little bit more mild temperatures to enjoy the outdoors. But if you're enjoying the indoors, maybe you're enjoying listening and watching the World Junior Hockey Championships tonight, 7:30 against Denmark. Matt Cullen is the TSN radio voice. You heard him on Boxing Day. You will hear him again on New Year's Eve. He also does the TV play-by-play for the Ottawa Senators, so he's back in Ottawa to do that. So you won't hear him tonight doing the Denmark game. That'll be Joe Bowen's son that will be doing that game this evening. But Matt joins us for a preview of the game against Denmark and a look ahead. But I do want to go back to what's up with Latvia, Matt, giving Canada trouble again with a overtime victory necessary for Canada.
Yeah, they credit to them. They've given Canada a really hard time over the past two tournaments, and just like the Czechs as well, Czechia, they've had Canada's number for the last little while. Both games have been tough for Canada, and I'm not sure how easy Canadian fans are sleeping these days, but the big one against Denmark tonight, a team that Canada shouldn't have a problem with, but two pretty stiff tests to open up the tournament.
Yeah, how important is it for like games three and especially that game four that you really start to see the line combinations gel, the special teams come together? Like, how important is tonight to really, you know, put one down on Denmark to make a statement going up against Finland that we all look at to be the deciding factor on who's going to be one or two in this division?
Yeah, a really important game here tonight, and it shouldn't be on paper a problem. Denmark has one player that's been drafted into the NHL, and Canada has almost every player, with a couple of exceptions, drafted into the NHL, not just drafted, into the first round. So on paper, this is a heavy mismatch. And Canada took care of business against Denmark. It was a pre-tournament game, but a 13-2 scoreline certainly will give Canada some confidence here. But just looking at some of the reporting today, a lot of the guys don't want to get overconfident, right? Because that's when you open the door to problems. And there have certainly been problems over the last couple of games. You can point to lines maybe not really gelling as well as, you know, the coaching staff would have hoped for. The power play hasn't looked that sharp. And gave up a late goal against Latvia, had to win in overtime. And, you know, that was a year... the year anniversary of Canada losing to Latvia for the first ever time. So not a road that Canadians want to go down. On paper, things look good. Denmark has been beaten pretty soundly in both the games so far. A 7-2 loss against the Czechs, and they also were defeated in the opening game against Finland, 6-2. So I'm thinking that if things go well, it'll be something along those score lines tonight. But I'm sure the Canadians will try and shut the door and not let them score.
Matt, I'm curious. It was fun watching Boxing Day. What was it like to call that game between Czechia and Canada that was all over the place? Not a lack of scoring in that one, Matt.
Well, that was the issue last year for Canada. They just couldn't get the puck in the net. I think they had 13 total goals last year in five games, and usually it's the goaltending that's the question, but that hasn't been the issue the last couple of years. It looks solid again this year. But, yeah, the calling that game was, you know, the Czechs are a really good team. They've given Canada a lot of problems over the past couple of tournaments. Coming into that game, the Czechs had won three of the last four at the World Juniors, and the only one they didn't win was that crazy wild finish with the golden goal in Halifax, 3-2 in overtime with Dylan Dunston scoring. So if you look at all those four games, the Czechs have been arguably better than Canada, and it was 3-3. After two periods, the Czechs had a lead, the Canadians had a lead, and if it wasn't for a four-goal explosion in that that wild third period, we could have been talking about a different outcome there. So really felt that was as close to a coin flip as you could probably make it. And, the Canadians found enough to come out with a win in regulation, and at the end of the day, that's what counts.
Well, when you look at Team Canada in this tournament, they're always short, these short tournaments. It's hard to gel. Already, you know, the top line, Michael Meese is talking, I need to shoot more and maybe a little bit more pressure being put on them. What is the, I don't know how to ask this. How do we temper expectations on teenagers to go into a scenario where you practice for about 5 days, have a couple of preseason games, and then all of a sudden after two games, people are like, what's wrong with the top line for Canada, Matt?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think everyone knows what they're getting into with the juniors, right? It's a pressure-packed tournament. It's Canada's favorite holiday tradition. And the expectations are supremely high. It's gold or it's a disappointment. That's kind of the reality of the Canadian hockey landscape. And over the past 2 years, it's been, well, quarterfinal exits and back-to-back years. That's the first time ever that's happened. So, yeah, there is some pressure on these players. And they have played together before. They've all had success for the majority at some of the other youth hockey tournaments, like the under-18s and the Hlinka Gretzky Classic. And a lot of those players know each other from there. But, yeah, you do get you have chemistry, and, you know, those are questions that are fair. But I think that when you look to Canada's top line, I think it's really hard to say if Canada has a top line, because every player, almost with the exception of Gavin McKenna, is a first-round NHL pick. So I think you could kind of roll all four lines, and anyone could be your top line on any given night. It's just a matter for those players to find some chemistry and get going. And the line with Michael Hage, he's looked really good, scored the overtime winner. Brady Martin, Gavin McKenna as well. They look like they're really clicking along. And, you know, I think that if you can look to a get-right game against Denmark to maybe give you some confidence heading into a New Year's Eve game against Finland, which I think is going to be a really good game. The Finns look really good this year. They're going to be a tough out. They just beat Latvia. I think it was 8-0 the final score last time I checked. Yeah, 8-0. And Canada looked like they could barely beat Latvia. So that's going to be a really tough game. So the Canadians have to look at tonight to try and get some confidence back. Michael Meese said, hey, let's shoot the puck more. That's not going to be – that's never can go wrong doing that. And we'll see how it goes. But if tonight's not a convincing win for the Canadians, then maybe I think we can maybe inch a little bit closer to the panic button, because there have been some red flags in the past couple of tournaments. And, you know, the first two games for Canada, you can't say it's been convincing. They've gotten two wins, one in overtime, but it hasn't been blow you out of the water type of games.
Well, what I love about this tournament is the younger, the next generation stars. And out west, of course, we've heard of, Tige Ginla, the son of Jerome McGinley, Gavin McKenna, those players, of course. But you mentioned Michael Hage, a later first round pick, Montreal Canadiens. This is why this tournament's fun, is these younger guys getting a bigger stage and a bigger name. And I think Michael Hage is, you know, the early favorite to be that kind of player.
Yeah, really exciting player, plays at the University of Michigan and is over a point a game. And that's a tough league, playing in the Big Ten and NCAA. There's, you know, maybe not as much on Canadian's junior radar just because he's not playing in the Canadian Hockey League this year. But, he's a guy. I mean, that's a league now where you're playing against older players as they opened up the rules now. So, you're playing against 23, 24, 25-year-old players, and he's 19. He's going to be 20 in April. He's looked good. He's looked really good as well. His brother Alexander plays with Niagara, so there's a bit of a Canadian hockey connection there as well. The Ice Dogs in the Ontario Hockey League. But yeah, great shot. Saw that on that one timer there. Love the creativity on that play. Him to find that sweet spot and then power in that one timer for the overtime winner. I think he's looked really good so far. A lot of jump, and I think if you asked a lot of Canadian hockey fans prior to this tournament, who's Michael Hayes? They probably wouldn't have had a great answer for you. So it's nice to see players like that make a name for themselves. And if you're a fan of the Montreal Canadiens, got good news for you. He's looking like he's going to be a pretty good player.
Okay, goaltending for Canada. Carter George gets the net in game one. It was a better team than Latvia offensively for Czechia. How do you break down Carter George's performance compared to Ivan Kovic in game two against Latvia?
Yeah, I think both of them are really good. I mean, obviously, when you give up five goals, that's never going to be, you're never going to walk out of the rink feeling good about that. I played a little junior B goalie, and the reason why I don't play goalie anymore at a high level is because there's too many of those five-goal nights. But I thought that George made some good saves. And again, the Czechs were talented. They had some room. They didn't have a lot of high-grade opportunities, but when there were breakdowns in the Canada zone, there were high danger chances, and a lot of them ended up in the back of the net. So I would point to that in the Czech game, that the Canada, if there are going to be breakdowns, just to try and limit the damage a little bit more. Like, instead of being, you know, on a five alarm, five bell chance, you know, try and limit the damage there as well. So I expect that George will be back tonight. Ivan Kovic's a really good option as well. I used to call games in Mississauga and Brampton with the Steelheads, where Ivan Kovic was there for a couple of years, and he broke in as a 16-year-old. So he's been playing high-level hockey for a long time. He's had great success playing with the Canadians at the under-18s. He's got a couple of gold medals there. He was the goalie of the tournament. And he's also eligible for next year's tournament as well. So my guess is that George would still be in the starter's net. He didn't even dress in the last game, but much like last year, I bet that was just a chance to on a back-to-back to give the starter a rest. But I suspect that George will be back in tonight. Sure, we can maybe ask some questions. If it's another 7-5 game, then who will start against Finland? That's a fair question. But I think if George is able to play well and keep the goal totals down, make some big saves, then I think that he'll be the starter for the New Year's Eve game against Finland.
Yeah, how excited are you for that New Year's Eve game against Finland? Of course, we don't know yet what's going to happen with Finland, Czechia, today, but it's lining up to be another epic New Year's Eve game for the World Juniors, Matt.
Finns have looked pretty good so far. Czechs have as well. And I think that Canada versus Finland has all the makings to be, you know, it's not the United States, Canada New Year's Eve Classic with the U.S. being in the other group, but I think that we're not too far off. I think that's going to be a really important game. And if Canada doesn't do well in that game, it's going to really set up for another nervy quarterfinal matchup, which has been Canada's real problem in the last couple of years, running into the Czechs in the quarterfinal. So really important to see how things go here today between the Czechs and the Finns, and then Canada, Finland. That's going to be one where everybody's going to be watching and listening to that one to set up the medal rounds.
Right on, Matt. Always appreciate your time. We'll talk to you later in the week and set up the quarterfinals.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. Enjoy the game.
Matt Cullen, he will not be on our air tonight. He's got an Ottawa Senators Columbus Blue Jackets game. He's the TV voice of the Ottawa Senators. If the Columbus Blue Jackets plane actually gets to Ottawa tonight. But he will be on the air with, of course, our partners at TSN Radio for the call on New Year's Eve against Finland. And he's got all those playoff medal games for Canada. Tonight against Denmark, 7:30 start time. Are you enjoying the tournament? What do you think of Canada's chances? By the way, 1-0 Czechia leads Finland right now. That's a big game in this pool with Canada going on this moment. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This week we got three live shows for you today, tomorrow, and Friday. Of course, we have live coverage of the World Junior Hockey Championships tonight, 7:30, Canada against Denmark. I'll keep you up to date on Czechia and Finland. It's a pretty big game when it comes to Canada's seeding and how big that game will be against Finland coming up on New Year's Eve. Last check, it was 1-0 Czechia in that game. Of course, Hockey Canada, TSN, and the Canadian Olympic Committee announced today, Wednesday, New Year's Eve, we will find out who is playing for Canada for the men's hockey tournament. 11 a.m. Saskatchewan time, TSN's coverage will begin at 10:30. My biggest question, or who are the three goalies? That's my biggest question. Who should they take in net? I think Binnington has the net to start because of what happened at the Four Nations faceoff. But Sam Montembeau and Aiden Hill, no, they're not going. I don't think they're going. So who are the other two guys going to be? Could Saskatchewan's Darcy Kemper get a call? We'll find out. Logan Thompson, maybe. That will be on Wednesday morning, 11 a.m. Saskatchewan time, when they announce
the men's roster for the Olympics. Meanwhile, the World Juniors tonight, 7:30 against Denmark on the NHL ice. You have five Canadian teams in action, including the Edmonton Oilers in Winnipeg against the Jets. The Calgary Flames welcome Boston. Vancouver is in Seattle. The Ottawa Senators are hosting Columbus. National Football League has one Monday night football game tonight. The Rams against Atlanta. Rams still have a chance to jump over San Francisco for the number two seed in the NFC West, which would help who they play in the first round of the wild card round. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, my top grades and failing grades from yesterday in the National Football League. And a shout out to my Raiders coming up next on 980 CJAMI and 650 CKOM. Jamie with you here on the Green Zone. Welcome to a Monday edition. Thanks for joining us on this afternoon. And the Czech is beating Finland right now, 1-0. Second period just underway at the World Juniors, of course. I've heard, mainly from Justin Blackwell, he's not a big fan of the angle at the, is it the Minneapolis rink? The non-NHL arena where the Gophers play. The TV angle's a little high, but you get used to it after a while. Although, not preferable. Canada plays Denmark tonight at 7:30. You can hear it here on these radio stations, CJAMI and CKOM. Some news just came in from the National Football League. Of course, it's the final week of the regular season coming up this weekend. Have some games on Saturday, some big games on Saturday, and then a full slew on Sunday, with that big game, Baltimore against Pittsburgh on Sunday night. But Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the LA Chargers, has announced Justin Herbert will not play in the final game against the Denver Broncos. New England Patriot fans are probably going, son of a... Because there's a chance the Patriots could get the number one seed. The Broncos win. That gives their chances higher to get the number one seed, but they will face a team without Justin Herbert with the LA Chargers deciding to rest their quarterback, which makes sense. He's been banged up. He's got the bad left hand. So Herbert will rest against the Broncos on Sunday. But right now it's time for Sunday School.
Brothers and sisters, from the A's of the Aaron to the F's of that Jared DeGoff, the passes and the failures, oh, the failures! Brothers and sisters, the good and the wretched and the touchdowns, this is Jamie and Locke's Sunday School.
It's just me today. I'm the only one with the red pen. So I'm going to take lockers. I'm going to give you two top grades, two failing grades, as we look back on a busy weekend of NFL football, Monday Night Football, of course, tonight, the Rams and the Falcons. I'm going to start with my first failing grade. My first failing grade goes to the Steelers.
Three on the play clock. Rodgers out of the gun. Looking to the end zone, and it is incomplete! Incomplete and no flag! The Browns have pulled off the upset!
Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers go to Cleveland, and I know weird stuff happens against divisional games when you're on the road, but you have a chance to clinch a playoff spot. That was the Steelers' first playoff game of the season. And they poo-pooed the bed. They didn't score one touchdown against the Cleveland Browns. They did their best to stop Myles Garrett from tackling Aaron Rodgers in the backfield. To that, they were successful. No sacks for Myles Garrett. But zero touchdowns. and they lose to the Cleveland Browns, giving the Baltimore Ravens life. And that's my second failing grade, is the Baltimore Ravens. And you're probably like, wait, they won. What are you talking about? You know why I'm failing the Baltimore Ravens? Because it took until week 17 for them to finally realize, oh, yeah, we got one of the best running backs in NFL history in Derrick Henry. Maybe we should give him the ball when Lamar Jackson's either injured or struggling. Watching the Ravens' mishandle of Derrick Henry this season has been tough to watch. So what do they do against the Packers with Tyler Huntley at quarterback? They give Derrick Henry the ball 36 times. What did he do? Oh, yeah, 216 yards rushing. How many touchdowns? Four. My failing grade, my second one, goes to the Baltimore Ravens. They'd probably already have the playoff spot clinched if they've been doing this all season with the King, King Henry. So they have one shot in Pittsburgh. Do it again. Give him the ball 36 times. Let him roll, as they should have been doing all season long. All right, let's get to the top grades here on the Green Zone. First top grade goes to that football game last night.
Inside the 10 to the end zone. Touchdown, Chicago, on the opening play. Inside the 5, Purdy to the end zone. Time's having it downfield to the end zone for Purdy. He's got it. Touchdown, Chicago. To the pylon. Touchdown. The Niners take the lead. Is Williams. He's got to throw it to the end zone. Clock has expired. He's got to get rid of it. Retreating, he throws. Incomplete. It's over. And the Niners have won.
I hope you weren't a fan of defense, because last night's game was fun to watch. Back and forth. The young quarterback of Caleb Williams dealing for the Chicago Bears. Then you have Britton Gray's second favorite quarterback behind Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy. He looked great for the San Francisco 49ers, aside from that early pick six on the first play of the game. But he settled in 42-38. First time in NFL history you had ties at 7, 14, 21, 28, and 35. Touchdown for one team, touchdown for another. Touchdown for one team, touchdown. That's how that game went back and forth until the fourth quarter was fascinating to watch. One of the best, if not the best, games of the year in the National Football League. Last night, San Francisco and Chicago, both playoff teams. Maybe they'll meet in the playoffs. Might meet in the, who knows, second round? Maybe the first round. We'll see how everything shuffles out. My second top grade goes to my Las Vegas Raiders. Top grade performance, throwing Max Crosby on the IR before the game. He's been dealing with a knee issue all year, but let's just wait until we take on the Giants. The importance of that game was the Raiders' chances at the first overall pick significantly increase with a loss to the New York Giants. I, being a Raiders fan, truly felt they were going to somehow win that football game and hand the Giants the first overall pick in the NFL draft. But for the first time all year, the Raiders didn't disappoint. They came through with a big loss. And they will pick, well, they might pick first. They could still blow it by beating the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. But for now, they get my top grade for losing a football game. And they now have an 80% shot at picking first overall. And, of course, everybody believes that the quarterback that will go first is Fernando Mendoza out of Indiana, the junior, who's having a great year leading Indiana into the college football playoffs. But, of course, it is the Raiders. And the last time they had the first overall selection in the NFL draft, they drafted Jamarcus Russell, who lasted 3 years and was out of the league at the young age of 24 was his last NFL season. But at least they have a shot to get the first overall pick. It's going well for the Chicago Bears this year with the first overall selection in the NFL draft 2 years ago. Caleb Williams is looking good, but hey, Raiders, you didn't screw it up yet. You get my second top grade behind that fantastic football game we watched last night. Now it's your turn if you'd like to grade the performances of the NFL in Week 17. 1-877-332-8255. I crack open the fan line right now. You can give me a call here in the Green Zone with your top grades, your failing grades in the National Football League right here on the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Hope you're having a great Monday. I'm hoping you also have this week off if you had a little bit of time last week. If not, thanks for joining us here on a Monday edition of the Green Zone. Jamie, by myself, a locker held down the fort for 2 days last week. I'll do 3 days this week. And then Locker's by himself again to start the new year as I'll be gallivanting around the province it's that time of year. Cheer comp season. Going on, hockey tournament season going on. I'll see you around Saskatchewan, all over the place, from Aberdeen to Warman, Moose Jaw, Vibank. I think we're out to Sedley and Southie, maybe in Edmonton in a few weeks potentially. As January, February, here we go. It's crunch time for all parents and winter sports. Meanwhile, Canada announced today, the Olympic Committee and the Hockey Canada and TSN, 10:30, New Year's Eve, 10:30 in the morning, not at night. TSN will begin their coverage of announcing the men's hockey team for the Olympics. And I was going over the Four Nations face-off roster, because you're probably going to hear 14 forwards, 8 defensemen, and 3 goaltenders. The 8 defensemen, I'm not sure how many will change. Drew Doughty, Colton Parayko, Thomas Harley, Josh Morrissey, Shea Theodore, Cale Makar, Travis Sanheim, and Devin Taves. Of course, they announced 7 originally. Then was it Morrissey got hurt? So Thomas Harley from Dallas came in. Are you changing any of those guys? And if so, who gets the call? I've seen some say Jacob Chychrun. There are those putting Evan Bouchard on the team. I know his offensive play has picked up, but he's still a defensive liability. But is he one of the 8 defensemen for Canada? No way. There's no chance. Is there a chance they put Evan? He's number 3 in scoring in the National Hockey League. That is true. He is number 3 in scoring for defensemen in the National Hockey League. Number 2 when it comes to Canadian defensemen. Has Noah Dobson earned himself a spot? Matthew Schaefer has been talked about a lot. We'll see. But I'm not sure how many of those defensemen actually change. The forwards. Now remember, it was a 23-man roster. You can have 25, so you can add 2 extra players. So Thomas Harley, add him as the extra defenseman. Then you can add 1 forward to the group. Macklin Celebrini added, inked, Sharpie. He's on the roster. There's no doubt in my mind. There should be no doubt in anybody's mind. Macklin Celebrini is going to the Olympics. He impressed with Crosby at the World Hockey Championships. He is going. What do you do about the injured Connor Bedard? Should be back a couple of weeks before the Olympics. Had a great start to the season. Yeah, and here's the thing. I think he will be on that roster on Wednesday. Because if he's not ready and he doesn't come back, you just replace him with an injury replacement. Seth Jarvis just got hurt. What do you do with him? He was on that Four Nations faceoff roster. Mark Stone, does he get a spot? Anthony Cirelli. And then the goaltenders. Ah, the goaltending for Canada. Always up for much debate. And when you look at the Canadian goaltenders who took part in the Four Nations faceoff, none of them are near the top of the table when it comes to goals against average, save percentage, any of that in the NHL. Like Jordan Binnington out of the Canadian goaltenders is 12th in save percentage. He's going to be on the team. Mackenzie Blackwood, Scott Wedgwood, both of Colorado, Logan Thompson, Washington, Darcy Kemper, Saskatoon Zone, LA Kings. Should he get? Who did we have on? Marty Biron talked about Jake Allen as that career veteran backup guy who knows his role as the third goal. Maybe he gets the call. Wednesday we find out. I wouldn't take any of the three, but after the performance Jordan Binnington put on at the Four Nations faceoff, I think it's a given. His general manager in St. Louis, Doug Armstrong, who runs the Hockey Canada selection of this Olympic team in St. Louis, will be putting Jordan Binnington on his roster. World Juniors tonight. It is Canada against Denmark, 7:30. You'll hear it right here on CJME, CKOM. Meanwhile, in that pool, big game going on right now, Finland and Czechia. It is 1-0 Czechia midway through the second period of play. Five Canadian teams on the ice, including an all-Canadian matchup in Winnipeg, Manitoba. It's the Jets against the Oilers. Coming up next, we weren't on the air. We haven't had a live show since the Riders gave you, Rider Nation, a great Christmas gift. Sam Amelis locked in for two more years, but who should they be signing next? We'll debate with Britton Gray on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.